It certainly is good to be home. I really want to thank you all for allowing me the opportunity to have a couple of days this weekend with my grandson in the woods. It'll probably take a couple of scrubbings to get the wood smoke out of my skin. Maybe that much more to get it out of my lungs. Cub Scouts love to make fires. But I really, really appreciate it, and I really appreciate Brian Terry being here this morning. I know that you gleaned a lot from his message this morning, and I am very appreciative to you all for allowing me this weekend. If you will, a very familiar passage, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And Jesus here says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." These words were spoken by Christ to the multitudes that had gathered around him. These were people who were oppressed by the government. They were oppressed by those who had money, and they were even oppressed by their peers. This was a time of political and moral and social unrest. History does repeat itself. We are in no different situation today. These people were heavy laden under the Romans. The Romans, no matter where they went and who they conquered, they levied heavy taxes on all the conquered people. And the Jews were no exception. The last straw for the Jews was that they were also being burdened by their own religious leaders. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 4, talking of these leaders, it says, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them one of their fingers." You know, "Do as I say, not as I do." And they were exacting a toll on all the Jews. So this evening, I want us to first consider some of the reasons why Jesus gave this invitation. At this very time, which God was waiting for that perfect opportunity to send his son, man truly was separated from God. Now the Jews had known this for quite a few centuries, because Isaiah in Isaiah 59 in the first two verses, Isaiah told the people then, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Now there were some spots in time in the part where they were trying to get back to God, but the more they tried, the further they were separating themselves, because the leaders took more and more of the role of God instead of God. You know, an invitation implies a separation. And an invitation is oftentimes used in society today to get people to gather together. God loves man, even in his sinful condition. Romans 8 and chapter 5 and verse 8, it applies just as much today as when Paul wrote it. "But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It is still applicable today. There are those that cannot understand God, but God is merciful. God desires all of mankind to receive salvation. Paul in writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 3 and 4. It says, "And for this is good and acceptable in sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." We, man, need salvation. But salvation cannot be secured unaided. Paul made this very clear in Ephesians chapter 2. In verses 11 and 12, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." You know, I think it was one of the hardest things for the Jews to understand in the early part of the church, that even their own prophecies said that God was going to save the whole world. But you know, you don't get a tree without a seed. And the seed coming from Israel gave the world the tree to where all can be saved. Jesus, this very day, is still meek and lowly. But this invitation that Jesus extended, have you ever heard any words like these? A lot of us here have probably heard thousands of invitations. Thousands of invitations. But no man that offers the invitation can ever give an invitation like this. No one would ever accept an invitation except the invitation given by Christ. I can't think of a living soul who could even be repulsed by this invitation. I think it shows so much tender and mercy and love. First, the invitation was addressed to those who labor and are heavy laden. Now think for a moment, if you can put your minds back in that time and all those people standing around and following Christ all over the countryside to hear his words. All these folks from all walks of life. Farmers, fishermen, carpenters, publicans, housewives, and even probably in the eyes of many that day, some of even the vilest sinners. And they gathered around listening to Jesus' sermon and then this invitation. Now think about the heavy laden. Labor is active. To be heavy laden is passive. It's what's inside of us. You know, we go out and work, and when we're done working, we're tired. But when we are heavy laden, it is the burden that is on our hearts and our minds that's dragging us under. And there are two classes of these burdens. The first is the self-imposed burdens. We oftentimes put so much on ourselves that we cannot dig our way out. And then there are the inevitable burdens, the things that just come with life. Illness, a loss of a job, those kind of things. But the vast majority of the burdens that we have on us are self-imposed. When you look through the gospel account and you look at all of the interaction that Jesus had with all the religious leaders, I don't think you can miss the fact that Jesus himself was very distressed at the fact that man had turned their religion, not to mention God's religion, into a burden. No religion should ever be a burden. ever. It should be one of those things that lifts us up out of our burdens. In Acts chapter 15, we find a great example of this. Paul and Barnabas was coming back in this great thing about the Gentiles. They were trying to get this resolved. And they were there with the apostles and the elders, and they were discussing this. And then there was a sect of the Pharisees who believed. A little bit before verse 15 of here, the Pharisees were trying to say, okay, but they have to be circumcised so that they can come under the command of the law of Moses. And so the apostles and the elders, they got together, and there was a lot of disputings. And Peter speaking there, he says, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? They were just piling it on. And the people were getting pushed down more and more. So we sit back, and I think all of us have an idea of what a yoke is. It's not a guy that can pronounce, that's trying to say joke and can't pronounce a J. An oak in times was a beam that was used to join two bursts of beaten, beasts of burden. Somebody must have put some sweet gum wood in that fire. In most cases, it was oxen. Jesus, in his invitation, was addressing himself to the problem of sin by yoking ourselves with him. He will lead us away from sin. But we have to be yoked with him. He is going to guide us. When he goes, we're going to have to go because we're tied to him. And in his invitation, he gives us a gift that is promised: rest. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, almost every great gift that you can ever receive is non-transferable. The great gift of a child at birth. While, yes, somebody may adopt it, that gift is still yours by blood. It's non-transferable. The rest that Jesus gives is based on reconciliation to God. And I don't think there's a greater gift in all of the world than that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7, Paul wrote to the brethren there, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. And when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from the heavens with his mighty angels. There's something we have to understand about rest. This is not rest from toil. This is rest in toil. While we are still going to have burdens, we are rest assured that Christ is with us and that God is with us. We are rest assured that we will be with him in the end. And no matter what comes, we sing a song, come what may, we know we can rest assured that we are there with him. When did you expect Jesus and the people that were listening, when did you expect the invitation to be accepted? Well, in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, Paul said, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 7, it says again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. In these three verses, can you see the urgency that the writers were putting in here? You know, this weekend, it seemed like there was about 50,000 kids. I know there wasn't that many, but when they're all running around, you think there's 50,000. And the grassy area across from where our campsite was hundreds of cars, it seemed like. I had to wash the car. I had to scrape the dust off the windows this morning from the dirt road. Everybody going up and down. And then last night, I think it was about 10 o'clock, somebody came up and said, oh, they had a child that was down in the aid station that he had a serious asthma attack and the ambulance came in and everything else. And I sat back and I was thinking of the sermon this morning, of the sermon last night, and I was trying to put in my mind some things. It was very quiet and the kids were occupied with the little campfire. And I sat there and I looked around and said, I wonder how many folks here today thought about today. And if they would even be here tomorrow. We take time for granted. And this isn't just an invitation for those who have never obeyed the gospel, for every one of us. If we're not doing the things, if we're walking around and we are so heavily burdened, why aren't we yoking ourselves to Christ more and more and deeper and deeper? Sometimes we've got to swallow our pride and say, I need help. Sometimes we've got to grab our bootstraps and pull ourselves up and go to God and yoke ourselves to Christ and His Word and have these burdens relieved. Let us fully understand that rest that He wants in us, that peace of mind. We won't find it in a pill and we won't find it in a doctor's office. I'm sorry, it's not there. In John 6 and verses 44 and 45, it tells anyone who will ever pick up the Bible and open it up how people can get to Christ. And Jesus says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me to draw him. And I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. But Paul, he said it in this manner in 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 18 through 20. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And Paul, he finishes it up here. Now we then are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. People also come to Christ by preaching. But I'll make it very clear. It's not who is preaching, but what is preached. And everyone sitting here this evening preaches, whether you realize it or not. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, Paul said, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." The old Church of Christ stand by Acts chapter 2, the first 41 verses. You sit and you read those 41 verses. And that's really all you really have to do to get the essence of the whole thing. Who saved the 3,000 people? It wasn't Peter. It wasn't the apostles. It was the words that they preached out of the book of Joel. God's word. The scales fell off their eyes. They were actually finally understanding and seeing what they should have been waiting for. And what the leaders should have seen. Because they were the scriptural experts of who Christ was. But if Peter did not stand in that temple, and the other apostles with him, and speaking in other tongues, so that everyone there would be able to understand, those 3,000 would still be lost. But it wasn't the men. It was the message. That message pricked their hearts. The scales of their eyes fell off. Because of what was preached. The invitation that Christ gave that day, at a time when there was not a single Christian on the face of the earth, not a single Christian, that would come a little bit later. But through His death and the establishment of the church, millions have obeyed that invitation. They have decided that day, or the day that they choose, that they were going to be yoked to Christ to get them through their life. To be released from the burdens of life. Not the trials, not the temptations, they'll always be there. But to have a safe shelter to go to and to get us over the next hump. The invitation is still good today as it was 2,000 years ago. "Come ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So we'll offer the invitation tonight if you're not a child of God. If you're labored and heavy laden, God wants you to have rest. Christ's yoke is not, His burden is not heavy. There are things that you will have to sacrifice, that is true. If our weight is a health problem, we want to lose the weight. We will make the sacrifices in order to get healthy. Wouldn't you like to do the same thing with your soul? To have your soul healthy? So when Christ returns, you will actually know your destination. There will be no doubt in your mind. If this evening you want to obey the gospel and to be baptized for the remission of sins, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. Maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you have separated yourself from that yoke, and you need to be yoked again with Christ. You need to make things right with God and to be reconciled back to Him. That invitation's for you too, because we can fall away. We can lose an out with God when we stepped away. See, you only have to go to Him with a penitent heart and pray for forgiveness, and God will erase the mistake. He will not hold it against you anymore. If anyone has a need this evening, won't you come as together we stand and we sing?